Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Welcome once again to the Mystery Frequency Podcast. Today, we have Volume 3 of Captain Midnight. Superhero? Spy? A little of both, depending on the source material that you're looking at. The radio version had Captain Midnight be the code name for a U.S. Army pilot who would always complete his missions at, you guessed it, midnight. The character was created by Wilford G. Moore and Robert M. Burt, and it had a long run, starting in 1938 and ending in 1949. If you enjoy these exciting episodes, please check out Volumes 1 and 2 in the archives. And as always, please be sure to follow the podcast, leave it a review, and also to rate the podcast. All of that stuff helps out greatly. And be sure to check out the descriptions for links to everything associated with the show. And with that, enjoy Captain Midnight.
Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. But first, we're going to get an important message tonight from the young fellow you know as Chuck Ramsey. It's about the new 1940 flight patrol that he and Patsy Donovan have organized for Captain Midnight. So listen. All right? Are you ready, Chuck? Come on through.
Come on, fellas and girls. The radio in this outlaw plane may not be so good, but I'll try it anyway. Now, this is awfully close. Things are getting mighty exciting here, and I know we're going to need your help before long. So if you haven't already joined our new 1940 flight patrol, be sure to do it right away, won't you? Patsy and I both sure appreciate it. And listen, when you get that spinning propeller metal, try to figure out what that secret password means. I can't tell you why now, but that secret password's going to be mighty important. Well, that'll have to be all for now. Goodbye.
Hey, did you hear what Chuck Ramsey said about that spinning propeller medal? Well, he's talking about that marvelous bronze medal of membership, of course, that you get free when you join the new 1940 Flight Patrol. And boy, it's a beauty. It has a three-blade spinning propeller that you can spin to settle hundreds of different questions and play all sorts of games, too. And say, will you have fun trying to figure out the mystery of what that secret password means? Now, the first five letters of the password are C-O-B-R-A. I'll repeat them. C-O-B-R-A. Cobra. Say, do you suppose that's a clue? But now, you want to get that secret medal of membership as soon as you can. Remember, this is all you do. The next time you're out in your family car, just ask Mother or Dad to stop at your Skelly service station. Tell your Skelly man you want to join the 1940 Flight Patrol. He'll give you your junior pilot's application card right away, and he'll send right in for your spinning propeller medal of membership, the beautiful bronze medal that makes you a full-fledged member of the 1940 Flight Patrol. And remember this, It doesn't cost you a single penny. No box tops, no package seals, or anything like that. Just tell your Skelly man you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol, and he'll do the rest. And now to Captain Midnight. You'll remember that Ivan Shark was watching Captain Midnight and Chuck through his powerful binoculars as they took off in the black two-seater with the rescued fugitive Juan Pereda. Ivan Shark ordered his chief pilot, Von Griff, to take off and follow Captain Midnight. It is now shortly before dark, and Shark is standing on the edge of his secret flying field near the burned remains of the cabin where Major Barry Steele and his agent Bud Conley were trapped. Attending him are his daughter, Fury, and his servant, Fang. Fury is speaking.
So that explains the mystery of the disappearance of those men, Father.
Yes, Master. Von Griff did not tell until...
I see the whole thing very clearly now, Fury. I am not surprised that Von Griff was puzzled.
I have been in this cabin many times, but I did not know there was a secret passageway beneath.
That I did not know either. It is amazing that Major Steele knew about it. It was an old mine shaft. Evidently, someone believed there was gold here.
Maybe there still is.
They must have found out differently, my dear. Otherwise, they would have continued.
If it had not been for that shaft, we would have been rid of this Barry Steele once and for all.
Maybe we shall be rid of him.
Pardon, Master. Do you hear something?
Thanks, right, Father. I hear a plane.
There, to the south. It's coming very fast.
It must be Von Griff.
It could be Captain Midnight.
And we are standing out here in the open? Come, Father, let us move under the trees.
Excellent suggestion, Daughter. We must not make a target of ourselves for Captain Midnight. Come, Fang.
Yes, Master.
If it is Von Griff, he will come in and land at once.
Look, the plane is sliding down.
Now, this is far enough. We're safe here.
See, Master, the pilot comes in to land. It must be Von Griff.
It is Von Griff. See? The plane is not a two-seater, but a single-seater.
Do not run out yet, Yuri. You never can be sure when Captain Midnight is here.
Let's see. Look at Von plane. I'm gone.
Look at him sideslip, Father. He's taking too much of a chance.
Ah, fatal sticks, my dear. The pilot is making a perfect sideslip landing into a small field.
Now, wait a touchdown.
An excellent landing indeed.
It is Von Griff. I recognize Helmut.
Yes, I see. He's taxiing directly to this spot.
I will have my wing.
Very good, Fang.
Shall we go out to meet him, Father?
What stupidity, my dear. You should never go out to meet your inferiors. Let them come to you.
I have got news for you, Chief.
Turn your ship around, Von Griff, for a quick takeoff. Then come here.
Okay, Chief.
Look at Von Griff's face, Father. He is disturbed about something.
So I see. Well, Von Griff, have you carried out my orders?
I had some bad luck, Chief.
And what is this bad luck, Von Griff?
Captain Midnight got away from
that
me.
That is not bad luck. That is rank stupidity. I warn you, Von Griff, a little more of this and you will never...
I could not help it, Chief. Captain Midnight flew into a deep barranca, which had many turns.
Excuses, alibis, that is all you give me. If you will tell the truth, you will confess that Captain Midnight was just too smart for you.
Enough.
I will not listen. Did you follow my other command to fly across the ridge?
Yes, Chief. And from there, I bring good news.
Well, what is it?
Tex Grossman and his men had the cabin surrounded.
Well, that is better.
What are your orders, then?
Everyone in that cabin must be captured alive. In the first place, I do not wish to be put in the position of fighting a mother and her daughter. In the second place, and more important, it is only in that way that I can lay a trap for Captain Midnight.
If you capture that Donovan woman and her daughter, Captain Midnight will never leave until he has rescued them. Or is dead.
I see you know Captain Midnight very well, my dear Fury. Now, Von Griff, listen closely. You will get 4 25-pound bombs from headquarters. One of them a dud with the firing pin removed and filled with sand. Drop this dud as close to the cabin as possible first. This should serve as a warning to those in the cabin. Perhaps they will rush out and into the hands of Grossman. Then, drop the other bombs one by one and destroy the cabin. In that way, we will achieve our purpose and give Captain Midnight something more to think about. And I will be watching you from the top of the ridge, Von Griff. Mind you, no more mistakes. Now go.
Thank you.
While Ivan Shark's orders are being given, Captain Midnight and Chuck leave the rescued fugitive, Juan Pareda, asleep, and follow a narrow mountain trail down to the cabin where they left Ma and Patsy Donovan guarded by Pinky and Slim. Chuck and Captain Midnight finally make out the shack through the gloom. As they're about to rush forward, they suddenly notice that the door is wide open. They halt in amazed silence as Captain Midnight whispers warningly,
"No, Chuck, no. Don't go in. We can't afford to make a single wrong move."
There. There it is again.
Quick, Chuck. Back around the corner here.
I wonder what...
Oh, it's just an owl, Chuck. There's nothing to worry about there.
Yes, but what's happened to Ma and Patsy? Oh, gee, this is terrible.
I don't know, Chuck, but we're going to find out.
That owl red. There's something strange about it. I just don't know what it is.
What are you talking about?
That owl red. I can't get the idea out of my head that I've heard it before.
You've probably heard lots of owls before, Chuck. Come on now. We've got to work, and we've got to work fast.
Okay, Red. You lead the way, and I'll follow. But I still...
Now, listen carefully, Chuck. We're in a tough spot. We can't make one false move. If our friends aren't in that cabin, and I don't think they are, they must have been driven out.
Or captured. Should one of us go through the door?
Oh, Chuck, no. That would be suicide. If Ma and Patsy, Pinky and Slim, have been captured, it's a dead certainty some of Shark's men are hiding inside in the darkness, waiting for us to come in. So now flatten yourself against this wall, and let's move forward.
Okay, go ahead.
Keep as close to me as you can. Whatever you do, watch the woods around us.
I'm right with you.
All right, I'm starting. Keep as quiet as you can now.
Something's happened to that end of the shack.
Come on. I'm going to creep forward a bit.
Okay, lead on.
Look, Chuck. Look at this. This end of the cabin, what? It's all torn apart. This whole end is shattered. Well, you can look right inside.
What could have happened?
Just a second. I want to examine this ground.
Can you find out anything?
Grab hold of yourself, Chuck. I've got bad news.
Go ahead, Red.
This whole end of the shack has been blown up. I can tell by the looks of the ground.
Gosh, Red, that means...
Now,
that
wait a minute, Chuck. Don't jump at conclusions. Follow me. We're going inside.
I'm right behind you.
All right. This is far enough.
I'm afraid we're going to find something we don't want to find.
Here. Kneel beside me against the wall here.
Okay.
I'm going to take a chance and light a match. As soon as I get it lit, you take a quick look around.
All right. Go ahead.
You see anything?
Quick, Red. Blow it out.
Any bad news?
No, Red. I was just afraid that somebody would see the light.
Nothing in here?
Not a thing.
Well, at least no one was killed in that explosion.
Something worse could have happened to them.
Meaning they're in Shark's hands?
Yeah.
I told you before, Chuck. Don't take anything for granted.
What do you think could have happened here?
I don't know. From the looks of things, an aerial bomb must have exploded at this end of the shack.
It just doesn't seem possible. Well, that a bomb could be exploded right here without hurting someone.
Come on, Chuck. We can't find out anything more here.
I don't know whether we can find anything out anywhere. I guess we just never should have left Ma and Pat.
That's water under the bridge now, Chuck. We did the best we could under the circumstances. Come on, let's go outside again.
Well, what next?
Now, look. You see that tree just ahead of us there?
Yeah, I see it.
Well, it has low branches. We'll be fairly safe from observation.
Okay, go ahead. I'll be right behind.
All right. Now then, here we are. Now, from an examination of that shack, I don't believe anyone was killed. Therefore, I believe they left the cabin of their own accord.
Well, that seems logical. The next question is, were they captured after they got out?
That's the whole thing in a nutshell. If they were captured, the chances are they aren't around here anywhere. If they weren't captured, they may be somewhere fairly close.
How are we going to find out?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to find out anything while it remains so dark.
But gosh, Red, it's only the middle of the night now. We can't wait until daybreak.
We may have to, Chuck. However, in the meantime, there's one thing we can do.
What's that?
We can circle slowly and quietly around the cabin, hoping to pick up their trail. But listen, we'll have to be very careful.
All right, let's get...
What are you looking at?
That way, Red. Up the side of the hill.
Now, what was it?
I thought I saw something moving.
Let's keep quiet then and watch. There, Chuck, there.
See? It is something.
Oh, now I've lost it.
So have I. Gosh, Red, what do we do?
Quick, Chuck. Down on your hands and knees and follow me.
Again, the sinister Ivan Shark has contrived a diabolical scheme to strike at Captain Midnight. And while this tense struggle between Captain Midnight and Ivan Shark continues, what about Major Barry Steele and Bud Conley in the Spartan? Have they reached the border safely? Don't miss the next adventure when screaming terror from the skies plunges down at the lonely cabin across the ridge. Tune in tomorrow to Captain Midnight. And now, a word to every red-blooded young fellow and girl who loves adventure. Do you have your official junior pilot's application card for Captain Midnight's exciting new 1940 flight patrol? Have you told your Skelly Man to send in for your beautiful bronze spinning propeller medal of membership and put your name on the list to receive all the amazing free gifts and prizes that are coming for every member? Well, if not, maybe you can stop by your Skelly service station with Mother or Dad tonight. Tell your Skelly Man you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol and get your very own official medal of membership with the three-blade spinning propeller. He'll be happy to help you join, and it won't cost you a single penny. So why not have the family car stop at your Skelly service station so you can join up tonight? Now, don't forget to tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. What has Captain Midnight seen, dimly visible, in the gloom of the night? And what has happened to Ma and Patsy and Pinky and Slim? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing! Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time, by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. But first, an exciting message for every one of the thousands of new junior pilots in Captain Midnight's new 1940 Flight Patrol. If you've already called at your Skelly service station to join the flight patrol, if you already have your official junior pilot's application card, then listen closely. Your very own burnished bronze medal of membership with the three-blade spinning propeller and the mysterious secret password is now in the mail. If you joined the flight patrol when I first told you about it several days ago, you'll find your medal of membership waiting for you at your Skelly service station within the next few days, maybe tomorrow or the day after. And say, wait till you see your very own medal of membership. Boy, it's a knockout if there ever was one. It's a secret medal, you know. You carry it concealed on your person like a secret serviceman carries his official badge. And you flash it when you're sure you're among friends. Then there's a spinning three-blade propeller on it, too. You spin it to decide hundreds of different things. To pick the winner or the loser in 100 different games. Why, there's just no end of fun you can have with it. And remember, this spinning propeller medal is your proof that you're a full-fledged member of the new 1940 Flight Patrol. It entitles you to take part in the thrilling adventure that's coming soon. And it entitles you to an unbelievable number of swell free prizes that you'll hear about later on this program. And what's more, none of this will cost you a single penny. You don't even need any box tops or seals or even a penny for a stamp. So listen. If you haven't already driven over to your Skelly service station with Mother or Dad to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol, why not do it tonight? Your Skelly Man will be happy to give you your official junior pilot's application card right away. And he'll send right into Skelly headquarters for your very own spinning propeller medal of membership. And he'll put your name on the list for all the gifts and presents that are coming later. And remember, it's all absolutely free. So see your Skelly Man and join up tonight. And now to Captain Midnight. In the last adventure, you'll remember that Ivan Shark ordered his chief pilot, Von Gritz, to drop bombs near the lonely cabin sheltering Ma and Patsy Donovan, Pinky Drake, and Slim Poole, in order to drive them out into the hands of Pax Rossman, waiting outside. Also in the cabin is another of Ivan Shark's henchmen, Pilot Zollinger, who has never uttered a word since he was pulled from the wreck of his plane. It is now almost dark. Pinky and Ma are guarding the wounded pilot Zollinger, while in the opposite corner, Slim and Patsy are talking in low tones. Listen as Patsy asks.
But what do you think, Slim?
All I can say is Captain Midnight and Tell could have got back here if they could.
I've got a queer feeling, Slim. I'm sure something must have happened to them.
Oh, come on now, Patsy. Don't be saying that. Captain Midnight and Chuck have been in lots tighter spots than this. You must be forgetting about when this Ivan Shark had him in the rear compartment of that there flying machine of his.
I'll never forget it. That was the narrowest escape I ever heard of.
If that had been Dinky and me, our gooses sure would have been cooked. I still can't figure out how they got out of that there tight spot.
Well, gosh, Lynn, didn't you ever hear about that?
Just knew it happened, that's all.
Well, you know, that rear compartment of Ivan Shark's airplane had a trap door in the floor.
Yeah?
In fact, the whole floor was nothing but a big door, which was hinged at the side so they would drop down from the middle.
Great grizzly. How high up was it?
Over 15,000 feet. And just before Ivan Shark sprung the trap, Chuck found a secret panel which opened into the tail section of the ship. In this way, Chuck and Captain Midnight foiled Shark. Then they sneaked up to the front and overpowered Ivan Shark and his daughter Fury.
And after all that, you're worried about him now.
I'm sure I am, Slim. Did you ever hear about the law of averages?
No, I reckon not.
Well, I mean, it's too much to expect that Captain Midnight is always going to get out of these scrapes.
Come on now, Patsy. Keep your chin up. You sure do like Captain Midnight a heap, don't you?
Well, I'll say I do. You know, Slim, well, my dad died a long time ago, and since we've all been together on this vacation in Mexico, I've gotten to know Red awfully well.
Sort of like a second father to you, huh?
Yes, Slim. That's about it.
Well, now, looky here. You ain't got no reason to think anything happened to him.
Well, it's almost dark, Slim, and it was early afternoon when they left. And you know perfectly well they didn't have gas enough to stay up all this time.
Sure, Patsy, but that don't prove nothing. They could have landed somewhere.
That's just what I'm afraid of. They had to land somewhere. If they don't get here pretty soon, these fellas around us will start shooting again.
Oh, they won't, neither. Not after the dose of lead Dinky and me give them. You notice they ain't fired a shot for the last hour.
Yeah, that's true. But what will happen after it gets dark? They could get up real close and we wouldn't see them.
Well, we'll start worrying about that when the time comes.
They could set fire to the outside of the cabin just as they did to Major Steele and Bud Conley.
Now, looky here, Patsy. We ain't going to let them do nothing like that. Not while Dinky and me can still lift a gun.
Listen, it's a plane. I'm sure of it.
Glory be, you hear that?
Yeah, there. Now I can hear it, too.
It's Captain Midnight. It must be.
Now, look out that crack, Patsy. Maybe you can see the plane.
Okay, Slim. I'll take a look.
Miss Donovan, how's that pilot doing that we pulled out of the wreck? Did he talk yet?
Not yet, but he sure knows what's going on.
He's a playing possum, and I'm darn sure of it.
Hey, the sky. Captain Midnight wouldn't be dying like that if he was on the land, would he?
Darn if I know. Can you see him, Patsy?
Yes, he's not the pilot. He's not the pilot. Maybe Shark has turned it.
Bill,
what was that? It's a warning,
Captain. Jumping zebra. Looked like a bomb, but it didn't go off.
It must be a warning. A real one would have exploded.
I think we'd better be getting out of here. That fella might be back.
Look, Ma, why don't you go back there and see how Pinky and that pilot are getting along?
Yeah, maybe the excitement will start him talking.
I'll be right back. Listen, Slim, I didn't want to scare Ma, but I'm sure that pilot is warning us to get out of this cabin before it's too late.
I think probably you're right, Patsy.
Even if there are men outside, we'll have to take our chances. Perhaps they think Captain Midnight is here, too, and they're getting desperate.
I guess you might be right, Patsy. I think I hear that somewhere again.
Yes. He's either off to one side or up pretty high.
Maybe Pinky and me better go outside, and if he starts diving again, we'll take a shot at him.
And while you're doing that, those fellas on the ground outside this cabin might get you.
Well, just the same, it looks like the only thing to do. Things sure do look mighty tough.
I can see exactly what's happened. These men surrounding us haven't been able to get us off, so Ivan Shark has sent one of his pilots to scare us out of here. Here comes Ma back again.
Sure, and I'm not the only one who's scared.
Oh, so Pinky is too, huh?
What, him scared? Well, he hasn't even winked an eye.
You mean that pilot is scared?
Sure, and I ain't talking about anybody else. Why, he's scared half to death.
How can you tell?
By looking at his eyes. I've looked into people's eyes before who was scared to death and just can't fool me.
Yeah, I guess he must know who's up there.
That plane's coming back again.
Slim, we've just got to get out of here and run for it. Ma, get Pinky and that pilot right away. Hurry.
All right, Patsy. Pinky, get that pilot out of here quick.
Yeah, Patsy. You speaking of that pilot gives me a great idea.
What do you mean, Slim?
He's going to save us even if he can't talk.
No, he won't want to save us.
But he's still our prisoner, and it's a sense he's connected with these other fellas. They wouldn't shoot a pal of theirs, so we'll use him as a shield and walk him out in front of us as we leave this cabin, see?
Well, that's a swell idea, Slim. Funny we didn't think of it before.
We didn't need to think of it until this fella that's diving around up there started dropping hints to get out of here. Come on, Pinky, let's get it going.
Here we are. I had to pop this fella up to his feet with my gun. Now, get over there, you.
I bet this fella wishes he could talk now, all right.
I'll open the door. We're going to use this pilot as a shield, Pinky.
A good idea, Patsy. I'll keep him covered with my gun, and Slim can cover the rear.
Well, let's go. That fellow will be back any second.
Okay, Patsy, open the door. Now, there you.
We mean business. My partner's got his finger on the trigger every second. You're going to lead us out of here, and if you so much as make one false move, you'll be a dead duck quicker than you can say Jack Rabbit, if you know how to talk at all. Savvy? Now march.
The door is open. That fellow is coming back with a face preserver.
Mrs. Donovan, you follow me. Then Patsy. Then Slim will bring up the rear. All right, let's go.
Let's hurry. As fast as we can. That fellow will be dying at once.
Yeah,
look
so fast there.
Can
you keep up all right, Miss Donovan?
Oh, this one case. I wish I had wings. Oh, you're doing fine, Lot. Come on. Glory, did you hear that? Well, that was pretty far off yet. We're safe now anyway. He's not trying for us. He's aiming for the cabin.
Yeah, he's still coming.
Well, let him come. If he gets close enough, we'll let him have it. We brought down one shark's planes once before.
Yeah, I guess we can slow down a little now, Pinky.
Are you sure? Absolutely, Ma. He's banking and turning before coming back. We're far enough in the cabin, so we're all right even if he does hit it.
Keep that fella in line, Pinky.
Oh, don't you worry, Slim. I got this fella under control. I'm heading over this way because I think we can get some protection over there among them rocks.
Did you see anybody around?
There ain't one, Pinky. If anybody's watching us, they're keeping ahead. They don't dare do anything to us, or they might hurt one of their own men. I'm sure glad we captured him. He makes a swell prize.
Well, I'm still wishing I was back in Glass Gulch. Here comes that fellow again. He's diving straight for the cabin. Come on, let's get even further away.
Ma Donovan, Patsy, and the others reached safety in the nick of time. Luckily, they discovered a cave which afforded them good shelter. We now find them there some time later. The wind is whistling through the trees as Patsy says...
What time is it now, Slim?
About 11:45.
Oh, I thought Pinky would be back by this time.
He'll be here pretty quick. I ain't worrying none about him.
We were sure lucky to find this cave. And that pilot's been playing possum all the time. I hope Ma doesn't go to sleep while she's watching him.
She won't. She's sitting there with that gun right in her lap.
Well, I guess Pinky was wrong about seeing two fellas go near the cabin.
He must have been wrong, or else it wasn't Captain Midnight and Chuck. Because we sure didn't get no answer when you hooted like an owl, Patsy.
Well, that was way back in grammar school when we did that. Chuck is probably forgotten.
Here comes Pinky now. I wonder if he found out anything.
There is somebody down there, Patsy.
Are you sure, Pinky?
You bet I am. There's two of them. And they're under a big tree down the hill a ways.
Try that hoot again, Patsy.
All right. Here goes.
I guess it ain't Chuck or Captain Midnight. Or Chuck would answer.
Suppose you try it once more, Patsy.
All right. This is the last time. If there's no answer this time, it can't be Chuck. Here goes.
No wonder the mournful screech of the owl had a familiar sound to Chuck. But under the tense strain of the moment, will he remember? Future events, human lives, depend upon what happens in the next few minutes. Don't fail to tune in tomorrow to Captain Midnight. And now remember, if you haven't already joined Captain Midnight's new 1940 Flight Patrol, be sure to join this very night. Remember, this is a different kind of secret club than any you've ever belonged to. There's real adventure ahead for every member. Wonderful free gifts and presents, too. And the most surprising part of it all is that it doesn't cost you a single penny. You just stop at your Skelly service station next time you're out in your family car. Tell your Skelly man that you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol and get that marvelous spinning propeller medal of membership. He'll give you your official junior pilot's application card right away and send right in to Skelly headquarters for your spinning propeller medal so you'll have it within a few days. Remember, it's all absolutely free. So don't delay. Join up at your Skelly service station tonight. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight. Brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers.
Can Patsy and her party still escape from the clutches of Ivan Shark's men? Will Patsy's signal, resembling the hoot of an owl, be heard by friends or enemies? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and
happy landing!
Percent of the work week is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
The Skelly Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, at this same time by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. And now, here's exciting news for thousands of fellas and girls who've already joined up as junior pilots in the new 1940 Flight Patrol. If you are one of those who joined about a week ago, your spinning propeller medal of membership is now ready for you to pick up. So go back to the Skelly service station where you got your junior pilot's card, and your spinning propeller medal will no doubt be waiting for you. However, if it isn't there now, it's in the mail and it should be there for you in a day or so. And say, will you be tickled to pieces when you see it? Why, here's a letter from one enthusiastic young flight patrol member who was lucky enough to get his medal yesterday. It's from Jimmy Moss of Evanston, Illinois. He says,
"Dear Captain Midnight, boy, am I having fun with my new spinning propeller medal of membership. I just got it this morning, and I'm having a circus with it. All the kids at school are crazy about that spinning propeller. They had me spin it for them at recess today to choose sides for pom-pom pull-away. See, I think I know how to find the meaning of that secret password already. I'll write you again when I have it all figured out. But meantime, thanks a million."
And the letter is signed Jimmy Moss. Say, wasn't that a swell letter? And I see your very own spinning propeller medal of membership. So remember, if you've already joined, your spinning propeller medal of membership is probably ready for you at your Skelly service station right now. And if you haven't joined, say, Dingle Penny. Here's all you do. Service station, the next time you're out riding with mother or dad, tell your Skelly man you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol Junior Pilot application card right away. He'll send right in for your spinning propeller medal of membership, and he'll put your name on the list for all the wonderful big gifts and presents that are coming later. But don't delay. Ask mother or dad to stop at your Skelly service station with you tonight. And now to Captain Midnight. Last time you remember, Patsy and Ma Donovan, Pinky and Slim, escaped from capture by Shark's men by using the captured pilot Zollinger as a shield as they escaped from the cabin in which they were seemingly trapped. Thinking that Captain Midnight and Chuck were probably nearby in the darkness, Patsy tried to communicate with them by using a signal she and Chuck formerly used in their grammar school days, imitating the screech of a hoot owl. Our scene today is with Chuck and Captain Midnight in the shadows not very far away from the now deserted cabin in which Patsy and her friends had been hiding. Suddenly, above the sighing of the wind, they hear...
Blinking beacons red. There's that owl again.
Shh, don't move, Chuck. Something strange about this.
There's something... Gee, I don't know what, but... Well, it's like trying to remember a name you know perfectly well.
Yes, I wonder.
There it is again, Red. Listen. What? I wonder if that could be possible.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, Chuck? You wonder if what could be possible?
Well, it just went through my mind like a flash, Red.
Yeah?
When Patsy and I were kids in grammar school, we used to make a call like that. Sort of a signal.
Say, do you suppose... Do you still remember how to make that call?
Well, I could try.
All right, now listen. Go ahead. We can't be much worse off than we are right now.
Here goes.
Say, that's pretty good.
Now, listen. Here's the answer. It's Patsy. Well, it must be.
Are you sure, Chuck?
Well, gosh, Red, I'm not positive, but I don't see who else it could be.
Yeah. All right, Chuck. We'll know soon enough. Now, listen. You hoot again, just like you did before. And if you get an answer right away, then that'll prove it.
Shall I go ahead?
Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck. See, kid, you're getting better.
Oh, gee, Red, isn't that swell? It is, Patsy. There can't be any doubt.
You bet. That proves it as far as I'm concerned. Now, look, Chuck, we've got to be mighty careful. If I'm right, we're surrounded by enemies on every side. Now, we've got to contact Patsy and the others, but at the same time, we've got to protect them.
I understand what you mean, Red. We mustn't draw attention to their hiding place.
That's it, exactly. Now, then, I thought that sound came from our left.
And that's what I thought, too.
All right, let's go. I'll lead the way and you follow. Keep on my heels, and let's try not to make any more noise than possible.
Okay, Red, lead on.
Hold it, Chuck, hold it. This is far enough.
Oh, gee, Red, we must have been going in the wrong direction. It seems to me we should have found them by this time.
Yes, I thought so too, Chuck. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's look over the situation.
Well... Straight ahead of us leads downhill into a sort of a valley. I can't quite make out what it is. It's so dark.
Well, the question is, are they down there in that ravine or to our left up on the hill?
It seems to me they'd be in whichever's the best hiding place.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The question is, which is the best hiding place?
I think I'd better signal again, don't you?
Well, I don't want you to, but well, I guess you'll have to. If we do too much of this hooting, some of Shark's men may get suspicious.
And we might also stumble right onto a nest of them.
Yes, that's the one thing we can't afford to let happen.
I should say not. If anything happened to us, well, I don't know where the rest of our bunch would do.
All right, go ahead then, Chuck. Just give another hoot.
Listen, Red. Listen to that. Patsy's to our left, up the hill.
Yes, you're right, Chuck. Come on, follow me.
Oh, look, Red. We're running into the cliff.
Yes, I see. Go easy, Chuck.
What's that, Red? See?
Where? Where, Chuck? Where?
That big boulder to our right.
Huh?
There's something on the other side of it. Look, it looks like a man's head and shoulders.
Chuck, you're right. It is a man.
The only thing is, it might be one of Shark's men. Shall I hoot again?
No, Chuck, no, don't do that. I've got to find some other way.
I know what to do. There's another signal Patsy will understand.
There is? Well, what is it?
It's a low whistle, repeated two times. If Patsy hears it, she'll reply with three whistles.
Okay, Chuck. But first, get back in the shadow of the street. Come on. If that fellow's an enemy, we don't want him taking a pot shot at you.
Okay. How's this?
Now, just a minute. Yeah. Okay, this is all right. All right, now go ahead.
Gee, it's her all right.
All right, now listen. Call out in a low tone.
Hey, Patsy.
I hear you, Chuck. Here we are.
Okay, Patsy. Come on, Red.
Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Where are you, Patsy?
Over here, Chuck.
Come on, Red.
Come on, Chuck.
Gee, Chuck, we're glad to see you. Where's Red?
Right behind me. Here he is.
Oh, hello, Patsy.
Where's Ma?
Here I am, Chuck. Oh, praise be the saints. I didn't know when I'd ever lay eyes on you two again.
That's what we're afraid of about you. Where's Pinky and Slim?
They're out on guard.
See? Pinky's over by that rock.
Yes, we could see him from below. You better get down behind that rock, or one of Shark's men will pick him off.
Oh, gosh, Patsy, we were sure worried about all of you.
Did you see the shack?
Yes, we did, Patsy. One end of it is completely blown out.
Bless our lucky stars, we got out just in time.
Well, how was the shack blown up?
By one of those black flames.
Oh, but praise be, we weren't there by that time.
Oh, gosh, how did you get out? Aren't there a lot of Shark's men on the ground?
I'll say there are.
You took an awful chance coming out like that.
Well, it wasn't so much of a chance because, you see, we had that injured pilot with us, and we used him as a shield.
Not a bad idea, then. Now, where is he now?
Right behind us in the mouth of this cave.
Well, I thought he was injured pretty bad.
Sure, and that's what we thought. But when Pinky put a gun in his ribs, he got up and moved plenty fast.
I'd like to find out about that fellow. I have an idea that...
There's sure something mighty strange about him.
Has he said anything?
Not a sound has he uttered since you brought him in from that wreck.
I don't know whether he's putting on an act or not.
Well, if you ask me, that's just what he's doing.
The question is, what are we going to do with him?
Gosh, Red, what are we going to do?
That's all arranged, Patsy. We're going back into the mountains to a place that Chuck and I know of.
Gee, Ma, did you hear that? Isn't that swell? But listen, Red, we've told you what's happened to us, but you haven't said a word about yourself.
What's happened to us? You mean what hasn't happened to us?
Yes, that's about it, Patsy. So much has happened to us that, well, it'll take a couple of hours to tell about it.
But anyway, tell us what's happened to Major Steele.
All right. He and that agent of his, Bud Conley, are in the Spartan on their way to the border. As soon as they cross it, they'll find an airport and land.
Sure, and what might they be going that far away for?
Well, you see, it's like this, Mrs. Donovan. Chuck and I were in the black two-seater. Well, we met the Spartan in the air. Thinking it was flown by Shark's men, we started a scrap. Then suddenly we discovered Major Steele and Conley were in it.
Can you tie that?
Glory be.
Shh, not so loud.
But you still haven't told us why they're flying across the border.
Well, in the fight, one of our shots must have crippled their landing gear. Anyway, they couldn't lower it, so they decided to fly across the border and land on a friendly field where they can get both help for the ship and for us.
Gee, that's swell.
But they'll be cracking up when they land, won't they?
No, I don't think so. In the retracted position, the wheels are below the wing a little bit. I think Major Steele can set it on all right.
What time will they get back?
They should get back by noon tomorrow.
You mean today?
Hmm?
It's after 12 o'clock already.
Well, gosh, I didn't realize it was that late.
Well, how soon do we start for this place you picked out, Ned?
Just a few minutes, Patsy. How do you feel, Mrs. Donovan? Have you had any rest?
Sure, and I haven't closed a knife for I don't know how long. But I'm good for a few hours yet. Don't forget you can't lick the Irish.
No, Mrs. Donovan, I've good reason to know that.
But that gets us back to this prisoner. What are we going to do with him?
Well, first, I want to take a look at him. Where is he, Patsy?
This way, a few steps, Red.
Okay, you lead the way. Anybody got a light here?
Here's my flashlight.
Oh, swell, Chuck. Here, let me have it, will you?
Here you are.
Thanks.
There he is, Red, lying on the ground.
Mm-hmm. I'll snap on this light and we'll take a look at him.
Sure, and he acts the same as he always has, lying on his back with his eyes wide open.
Well, I'm going to give him another chance to answer another question. Listen, fella, can you hear what I'm saying?
I don't think he can hear you. He's either deaf or he lost his hearing in that crash.
Now, wait a minute, Chuck. I'll try once more. Now, listen to me. If you can hear me, nod your head.
He's a good actor, if you ask me.
Well, maybe his neck hurts, so he can't move it.
He didn't have any trouble walking, but I don't believe he can hear. His expression hasn't changed a single bit.
He's got the strangest look in his eyes. Sort of as though he was grateful to us.
I've had the same feeling, Chuck. I think he knows we've done our best to help him.
Yeah. I wouldn't be trusting him for a second. He's up to no good, or he wouldn't be flying for Ivan Shark.
Oh, I don't know about that, Mrs. Donovan. Sometimes men get into Shark's power and can't help themselves.
Just the same. A person's judged by the kind of company he keeps.
Well, Red, what are we going to do?
Let him lie there for just a few seconds. Let's all of us step away here.
Okay, Red. Where?
Over this way. Follow me.
Come on, Ma.
All right. But I don't like the idea of leaving this fellow alone.
All right. Wait a minute. Oh, this is far enough. I didn't want to talk in front of that fellow. Although he's probably heard a lot already.
Are we going to take him with us?
Well, that's just what I'm going to decide right now. For the moment, I can't see any value in taking him along.
Well, we could use him for protection again, just as we did before.
Somehow, I've got a hunch that won't work again. Especially if we're bombed from the air. From what I've seen of Ivan Shark, he won't care whether this man's life is sacrificed or not.
And there's something else, Red.
Huh?
If this fella can hear, he may have overheard us talking about Juan Paredes' hunting lodge.
That, Chuck, is the deciding factor. We've got to keep Paredes' camp a secret. So we'll take him along.
Quick!
Huh?
Look over there!
Look, Red. Somebody's running.
What? It's our prisoner, the injured pilot. He's escaping. Hurry, Red, hurry!
Well, the injured pilot, whose name we know to be Zollinger, has seized an opportunity to escape. But what is the truth about him? Is he actually deaf and dumb, or did the crash destroy his power of speech and hearing?
tune in tomorrow to Captain Midnight. Say, if one of your best friends was going to miss out on something that you knew was going to be more fun than anything you ever heard of, you'd want to tell him about it so he could take part in it too. Isn't that right? Well, that's why I want to say this to you fellas and girls who haven't yet joined the new 1940 Flight Patrol. Don't miss out on all the thrills and adventure and free presents that are coming for all of us. Join up tonight. It doesn't cost a penny. All you do is drive over to your Skelly service station with Mother or Dad. Your Skelly man will see that you get your junior pilot's card and the big spinning propeller medal of membership and all the rest. But say, do it tonight, won't you? So you won't miss out on a single bit of the fun that's ahead for every member. Now, don't forget to tune in again tomorrow, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight, brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Does Captain Midnight dare to try to catch the escaping prisoner? How much has this man overheard? And meanwhile, what is Ivan Sharp doing? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly man, saying goodbye and happy landing! Presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, at this same time, by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Now, here's a real tip for every adventure-loving fellow and girl. If you're not already a member of the new 1940 Flight Patrol, hurry. Hurry and join tonight or tomorrow or Sunday for sure. Because the first big present for members of the new 1940 Flight Patrol is just around the corner. And you'll want your official medal of membership so you can show you're entitled to one of these wonderful free presents when they come. And say, wait till you see this free present. It's the strangest, most fascinating thing you've ever seen, I'll bet. Why, you'll drive people crazy with curiosity, wondering what makes it do the queer things it does. So hurry and join while there's still time. Then, besides getting this free present, you'll be ready to help Chuck and Patsy in a thrilling adventure that's coming for every member of the new 1940 Flight Patrol. So when you're out in the family car with Mother or Dad, stop at your Skelly service station and join up at once. Remember, it doesn't cost you a single penny. No seals, no box tops, not even a penny for a stamp. You just tell your Skelly man you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol, and he'll give you your official junior pilot's application card and send in to Skelly headquarters for your spinning propeller medal of membership. And say, boy, will your eyes pop when you see this gleaming bronze medal. It has an amazing three-blade spinning propeller on it that will help you decide things. Like who's first in line, who's winner, who's loser, who does the dishes, and who goes to the movies. You just spin it and get your answer. Then there's that strange secret password on the medal, too. Only members of the Flight Patrol can figure out what it means. You'll mystify all your friends with that mysterious password in your spinning propeller medal. So tonight or tomorrow or Sunday, when you're out in the family car, just ask Dad or Mother to stop at your Skelly service station. Tell your Skelly man you want to join the new 1940 Flight Patrol, and he'll do all the rest. Then, when those wonderful free gifts are ready, there'll be one reserved for you. And now to Captain Midnight. Yesterday, you remember, the mysterious pilot, Zollinger, who had been held prisoner by Captain Midnight and his party, escaped to his chief, Ivan Sharp, and gave the latter wrong information as to the direction in which Captain Midnight and his friends were headed. They are really heading for the estate of Juan Pareda, and today we find them, soon after daybreak, toiling over a ridge.
Captain Midnight and Chuck are ahead of the others. Captain Midnight is speaking.
Look over there to the west, Chuck. Isn't that a beautiful sight?
Gee, it sure is. Well, you can see for miles and miles.
Yes. This must be one of the highest points in the whole country.
I guess it is, all right. I'm sure this is the high ridge we can see from the field where Pinky and Slim have their cabin.
That's the one, all right. Now, wait. This is about far enough. We can look over the crest now, but don't let yourself be seen.
Gosh, Red, look. We can see the other side. There's the dried lake bed, and there's that black two-seater we were flying.
Yes, and stuck as fast in the mud as ever.
Maybe worse, too. He'd probably settle some overnight.
No doubt. Oh, wait. Here's a couple of boulders, Chuck. Let's sit down a few minutes and talk things over.
Okay. You know, Red, I was just wondering about something.
Yeah, what was it, Chuck?
Well, we've been away from Senor Pareda's hunting lodge for about 9 hours. We can't tell what's happened since we left. Now, wouldn't it be wiser for us to leave Ma and Patsy on the ridge here while we go down and look things over?
That's using the old bean, Chuck. We'll do just that. And there aren't two finer guards in the world than Pinky and Slim.
I'll say.
Now then, let's go over a few things.
Okay, Red. What's the first thing?
Well, I never look on the dark side of things, Chuck. But the more I think about it, the less hope I have that Major Steele and Conley got across the border.
You mean on account of that gas they have in their plane?
Yes. It wasn't the right kind. And on a long cross-country flight, the engine's bound to overheat.
Gee, Red, if that's the case, Major Steele and Conley may be in a bad way. The country between here and the border is awfully rough. And if they have a force...
I thought of that too, Chuck. But we've got to consider our own situation first, because we have women along.
If Major Steele and Conley should have a forced landing, which means they'd be lost for a long time, we can't hope for any help from them.
That's right. And we don't know a thing about the towns around here or where we could go for help here either.
If we could only get this black two-seater out of the mud, we might fly her across the border.
No, Chuck, no, I don't think there's a chance. She doesn't carry much gas, and I doubt very much whether there's enough in her tanks right now for an hour's flying.
And we don't know where we can get any more.
No. Besides that, we haven't got her out of the mud yet.
It looks to me as if we only have one source of help.
Yeah, what's that, Chuck?
Senor Pareda. He's gotten away from Shark now, and if he can find his men, they'll give us the help we need.
Yes, you're right. Senor Pareda is our immediate hope. And if there's anybody in the world I'd like to help, Chuck, he's the one.
Oh, I never heard such a pitiful story in all my life. It doesn't seem possible anybody could be so inhuman as Ivan Shark.
No, Chuck, no, it doesn't. But I've seen so much of Ivan Shark by this time that nothing he does surprises me. His treatment of Pareda is just another in the terrible list of crimes for which he's got to be brought to justice.
And another thing. Don't forget, Senor Pareda's daughter is in Shark's power.
No, I'm not forgetting that. It just means we've got to act and act fast. That's a tough thing to do when you don't have any equipment.
Well, there must be some kind of a way out. There's got to be.
That's the way to talk. And we'll find that way, too. All right, come on. You and I'd better be getting along. We'll say, can you see Patsy down the trail there?
In just a second. I'll stand on this rock.
All right, that's an idea.
Oh, now I can see her. She's looking this way. I'll give her the old signal.
She answered you.
Yeah, and here she comes, too.
Yes, and when she gets here, we'll follow out your idea and go on a little scouting trip.
Here I am.
Oh, Patsy.
I ran up right away.
Now, listen carefully, Patsy. I've got some instructions for you.
Okay, Red, I'm listening.
But first, how's your mother feeling?
Oh, she's all right, Red, but rather tired.
Yes, I thought so. Now, do you see that grove of trees next to the trail there?
Over there to the left?
Mm-hmm, that's the one. Now, fix a place so your mother can lie down and rest. And tell Pinky and Slim to stand on guard until Chuck and I... or one of us returns.
Okay, Red. But what about me? Can't I come with you and Chuck?
No, Patsy, no. Not this time. We don't know what we may be running into, and I'd rather you'd stay with Pinky and Slim.
Just as you say, Red. But don't ever forget that I'm one of the best little scouts you ever saw. I'm game for anything.
She is, too. Well, Chuck, come on. Let's be on our way. We've still got to find out a lot of things without anyone seeing us do it. Hold it, Chuck. Hold it. I can see one Pareda's hunting lodge from here.
That's it. Gosh, isn't it quiet down here?
Yes, I'll say it is. As soon as you get away from the top of that ridge, you can't hear any wind at all.
But listen, Red.
Huh?
I do hear something. It seems to come from the cabin.
But Chuck, you're right. It's music. It's coming from the hunting lodge. Come on. Let's get a little closer. Keep behind these trees as you go forward now and watch it. Yes, it's some kind of Mexican music or I'll eat my helmet.
Well, look. Someone's coming out of the cabin.
You're right. Well, now, who in the world could...
Well, listen. They're singing, too.
Yes. There's more than one voice. What? Well, there must be several.
Oh, now I can see. But look, that man is Senor Pareda. See, he's standing in that open spot looking out over the dried lake.
Yes, it is Senor Pareda, Chuck. Come on.
Hey, here's... He's looking this way.
He doesn't know who it is. Oh, look, he's running back to the cabin. Senor Pareda! Senor Pareda!
Oh, look, he stopped. He sees
us. He sees us all right.
Senor Pareda! It's coming to midnight. Senor
Ramsey,
I am so glad to see you
all. And we're glad to see you, Senor Pareda.
I have the great sense that
the
misfortune has happened to you.
No, Senor, no, nothing has happened to us. That is, nothing bad.
You have found your amigos, your friends?
Yes, Senor. We went down the trail you told us about and we found them.
Oh, but the Capitan, you did not leave them down there.
Oh, no, no, Senor. They are above us on the ridge. We thought we'd better come down and see if you were here.
Si, Senor. I am here, and I am very happy.
And guys, Senor, what's the music?
Ah, the music. Listen. That is why I am so happy. My men, they have come back to me. They are in the cabin, and they are playing and singing the songs, because once again, they have found their master.
Oh, that's grand news, Senor. Now that you've found your men, perhaps we can do something against Ivan Shark.
Si, Senor. That is what we shall do. But my heart is sad when I remember that my beautiful daughter, Dolores, is in Ivan Shark's power.
Yes, Senor, we know. And we'll do something about that just as soon as we can. But first, we must decide what to do right now.
How many men do you have, Senor?
Let me think. Oh, there must be 15.
15?
Oh, that's splendid, Senor. Why, with that many, Chuck, we've got a chance to pull that plane out of the mud.
Oh, gosh, that's swell. Well, hadn't we better get to work before she sinks in any further?
Yes, you bet. We'll do that right away. Oh, Senor Pareda.
Si, mi capitan.
Do you have any rope around your hunting lodge?
Si, Senor. I am sure we have the rope in the cabin.
Good, good. All right, Senor. Now, will you get that rope and your man and come out to the plane? Chuck and I will go out there and decide which is the best way to pull the ship out.
Si, Senor. I will get the rope and my men at once. And soon, poof, like that, we will have the airplane out.
All right. Come on, Chuck. We'll go out to the ship and make plans for pulling it out.
Gosh, Red, I just thought of something.
Yeah?
Suppose we do pull the ship out. We won't be able to take off because the wheels will sink as soon as she starts to run.
I thought about that, Chuck. It's going to be a ticklish job, I'll admit.
But it can be done at all.
Yes, I think it can. Now, look at this stuff we're walking on. See, it seems fairly firm. See that?
Yeah, it seems firm here. But I don't think it is out near the middle. And that's where you'll have to take off.
I realize that, Chuck. But now listen, here's my plan. If we can pull the ship out of the mud, we'll take everything out we can. In other words, make her as light as possible. Then we'll pull her into the shore. Then turn her around so she's headed toward the middle.
Oh, I begin to get the idea. You'll start her rolling near the shore where the surface is firmer.
Right.
And by the time you get out near the middle, you'll have enough speed so that the lift of the wings will take most of the weight off the wheel.
That's the idea, kid.
Well, it may work, Fred. But if those wheels ever start sinking in, it's going to be too bad.
Yes, I know that, Chuck. But we've got to take a chance. We can get out of this bad spot we're in a lot quicker if we have a plane to fly.
Gosh, look how those wheels have sunk down. Even the axle's down in the muck. How are we ever going to pull her out?
Well, now, here's my plan, Chuck. We'll attach the rope to the axle, and while some of us pull up on the wheels, the rest can pull forward on the rope. If we can once get it started, we'll be all right.
It may work, Red. Oh, look. Here comes Senor Pareda and his men, and they have a long rope with them.
Yes.
I wonder...
What's the matter, Chuck?
I thought I heard something, Red.
Yes. Yes, there's a plane in the air.
I've looked all around, Red, but I can't see it.
Yeah, but there's one around. And he's getting closer.
Oh, look, Red, look. Huh? There's a black plane coming over the top of that ridge.
Oh.
And he's heading straight for us.
Run, Chuck, run for your life.
Bring up a radar. Turn around. Go back. Go back. Their plane is diving on us.
Just at the moment when things began to look brighter for Captain Midnight and his friends, a black plane dives out of the crimson sky. Have Ivan Shark's rascals discovered this mountain refuge? And what will happen in the next minute? Will Captain Midnight, Chuck Ramsey, together with Senor Pareda and his men, be able to reach the shelter of the tree-lined shore? Tune in next Monday to Captain Midnight. And now, fellas and girls, be sure you are a member of the new 1940 Flight Patrol before this coming Monday. Be sure you have your official junior pilot's card, because the first big free gift for Flight Patrol members will be announced real soon. So stop at your Skelly service station when you're out riding in the family car tonight, tomorrow, or Sunday for sure. Tell your Skelly man you want to join the Flight Patrol. He'll give you your junior pilot's card right away, and he'll send in to Skelly headquarters for your burnished bronze medal of membership with a three-blade spinning propeller. And he'll put your name on the list for the first big present when it comes.
Every member gets one free. But remember, you don't have to spend a penny to join. Just tell your Skelly man you want to belong to the new 1940 Flight Patrol, and he'll do the rest. But don't wait. Join right away, so when those new free presents come, there'll be one for you. Now, don't forget to tune in again Monday, same time, same station, for further transcribed adventures of Captain Midnight. Brought to you by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly Jobbers and Dealers. Who is this new enemy who has suddenly appeared in the sky? Can Captain Midnight and Chuck salvage the plane still mired in the dried lake bed? Be sure to listen Monday. Until then, this is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing!
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy, you're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant, Sweet Tango Apples, guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.